chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and I desire your prayers this morning and tonight as well as we start. Brother Greg asked me a while back about coming and doing a prophecy conference, and so that's what I'm going to be doing this week and of the night, and so I desire your prayers as we go down there and try to do our very best with the Lord's help down there. But I had a message I was going to preach last Sunday, and I thought I'd end up preaching it this Sunday. But yesterday morning I was reading, doing my devotional reading, and the Lord gave me another message that I feel like I need to preach this morning. So maybe last Sunday's, the Lord will let me preach it some other time. But Isaiah chapter 53, and there's only 12 verses there, so let's just read all 12 verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." I'll stop right there, and we'll read those other verses later. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just come today and thank you so much for letting us be here and all the many blessings, Lord, that you've given to us. God, we come today asking for your help, asking, Lord, for your blessing on the service. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today, and God, we take it for granted sometimes that we're just able to come to church. But God, we realize, Lord, that every time we open our eyes and we're able to walk out of the house, we're able to assemble together, Lord, it's a blessing of God upon our life. And so, Lord, help us not to take it for granted. God, I need your help today. I pray you'd speak to us from the Word of God. Lord, we're trusting that your grace is sufficient. And God, we ask for your help as only you can help. God, help us to hear and heed the message today. I pray it'll be a help. I pray it'll be a blessing, and that your will would be done and you'd speak to hearts as only you can. Thank you for all your blessings. We come asking it all in Jesus' name and amen.
All right. Let's just read verse number 3 over one more time, and we'll start there this morning. I'll tell you what I want to try to preach on. The Bible said, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." And I want to preach out of those, out of the first part of that verse right there, especially the phrase it says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." That's what I want to preach on, and acquainted with grief. That would be the title that I would use today, right out of the Word of God, acquainted with grief. You know, I would say that without a doubt, the majority of people in churches have a warped view of the true nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He was really like and what He is really like today. We live in a day and a time where there is so much emphasis in churches and even among Christians that's placed upon, almost that it's a sin if everything is not upbeat. And especially in your new evangelical churches, a lot of your bigger churches, TV churches, contemporary Christianity, whatever you want to call it this morning, but there's just this idea that everything has to be, I heard a preacher say it like this a while back. He said everything has to be happy clappy all the time. I thought that's a pretty good way to describe that. Everything being happy clappy, you know, let's have whatever we do, a positive message, end on a good note, smile and be cheery and happy and encouraging. And you know, all those things are good. And we should be among the people in the world. We ought to have the most joy. We ought to be the happiest because we do have something to be happy about. But sometimes I think we tend to ignore how terribly sorrowful and grievous this world is. There's a lot of grief. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of pain that goes on in this world. I believe what the Word of God says, Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We ought to have a merry heart. But you know what? You can't have a merry heart all the time. You're not going to be happy and uplifted and encouraged all the time. I know this morning that there are many, many sorrowful, broken, sad hearts today in our world. People that have anguish, they have fears, they have tears, they have depression in their lives, they have hopelessness in their lives, they have a lot of problems and sorrow and grief in their lives. Well, what about them this morning? What is our message when we have times like that in our life, when sorrow and grief comes into our life? What are we going to preach to those people? What are we going to tell one another when we're going through times like that? You know, sometimes it's hard to know what to say to people. Are we going to just pat people on the back and say, cheer up, it could be worse? You know, that I don't know if that's a good thing to say to somebody. But a lot of times that's about what we say to people. You know, well, it's bad, but it could be worse. Well, that's true, but now, if it's my heart that's broken, that's really not going to encourage me very much. Cheer up, it'll get better, but then it'll get worse again. Something like that. What are we going to tell people in this world that are really going through times of sorrow and grief in their lives? As a pastor, I struggle with that. I mean, I have people come to me more often than probably most people realize, and they have real problems, they have real grief, they have real sorrow. What can you tell somebody like that? It's just not very comforting just to pat somebody on the back and say, well, it'll get better with time. When your heart's broken, that really doesn't comfort you. That really doesn't help you very much. But the Lord has shown me something from the Word of God, and I hope it'll be a help to you and a blessing to you, and something that'll help us be a help to others. Maybe you're here and you say, well, preacher, I'm not going through a time like that. I'm not going through a time of sorrow or grief in my life. Well, you will. I promise you that if you live long enough, you are going to have your share. You don't have to worry about that. But what about that? What's the Word of God say? I began studying, and the Lord brought this passage of Scripture to my mind about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says about Him in verses 2 and 3, it says, for He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant,
And as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The first thing I want to point out today is the companion of grief. I believe we could point out from the scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ was a companion of grief. The Bible says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That means that he knew something about grief. It says here in verse number 2, now, this is a prophecy concerning Jesus going to the cross. That's what Isaiah chapter 53 is talking about, and it's talking about that he paid for our sins upon the cross of Calvary, and he died upon the cross for our sins. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day. All those things are in Isaiah chapter 53, but it starts out in verse number 2. It talks about his growing up. What was Jesus like as he was growing up? You know, the Bible really doesn't tell us a whole lot about how Jesus was as he was growing up. We see him, we see his birth in Luke chapter 2. We see him at 12 years old in the temple, and then we don't see him again until he's 30 years old. There's a lot about Jesus growing up that we just don't know anything about. But the Bible refers here in verse number 2 to his growing up. And in his growing up, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. That's talking about the Lord Jesus as he grew up. It said, as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's referring to Jesus as he grew up. That really, as he grew up, there was nothing about him that made anybody look and say, look, he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. That's not how it was when Jesus grew up. The Bible says there was nothing desirous about him. Nothing about him that when people that grab their attention about him, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It's not like you might think. As the Lord Jesus Christ grew up, we've got all kinds of Bible storybooks and things at our house. And some of them are good and some of them are all right and some of them aren't worth much. But I was reading a little story to Chloe one time, and it was telling about, Jesus when he was a little boy, what he would have been like, and it painted the picture there about him, maybe that there was a bird fell out of a tree and broke its wing, and Jesus would have went up as a little boy. Now, this is not in the Bible, mind you. This is just a little storybook. Maybe that Jesus would have went up to the little bird that broke his wing, and he'd have been able to touch the bird and heal the bird, and the bird would have flew off and everything. You know what? I don't believe that's how it was when Jesus was growing up. I don't believe he ever did anything like that when he was growing up. I do not believe that Jesus performed one miracle when he was growing up. I don't believe he healed anybody. I don't believe he touched a blinded eye. I don't believe he caused a deaf person to hear. I don't believe he did anything like that whatsoever until after the preaching of John the Baptist out of the wilderness. There's coming one. There's coming one. And I don't believe he did anything like that until after Luke chapter number 4, where he was tempted of Satan in the wilderness, and then he began his public ministry. I don't believe he healed anybody. I don't believe he performed a miracle on a little bird that had broken his wing. I believe I could prove it from the Word of God. John chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says over there, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. You know the first miracle that he ever did? He turned the water into wine at the wedding. was an alcoholic. Why? And I'm not going to get into that. But the Bible says that was the beginning of miracles. Now, after that, after the beginning of miracles, from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, He could heal the sick, raise the dead, open blinded eyes, cause the deaf to hear, cast out devils, all of those things. But it wasn't until after He was already 30-some years old. You know, the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 4 and 15, it says, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. You know what that word infirmities means? We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That word infirmities, it means our weaknesses. It means our inability, our frailties. In order to fulfill the office of the high priest on our behalf, there had to be a time in Jesus' life where He just couldn't. He limited His own self. Now that blows my mind to think about God limiting Himself to a period of time in His life where although He could, He couldn't. That's what the Bible says. There had to be a time in His life where He felt just like we feel when we're in our weaknesses. Or He couldn't be our great high priest. There had to be a time in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ where as He stood by and watched somebody die, He couldn't do nothing about it. He did not do any, is that proper English? He didn't do any miracles before Cana of Galilee. We don't read about anything like that. He had to go through a time in His life of weakness and frailty and inability, and He did that for our ultimate good. When I think about the Lord Jesus Christ and His life growing up, I don't believe Jesus brought back any puppies to life that had been run over by a chariot in the street or healed any birds or anything like that. But you know what? When I think about the Lord Jesus Christ as He was growing up during those years, I believe I could imagine Him at the house of somebody that was deathly sick. I believe I could more picture from the Word of God as I read about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe I could imagine the Lord Jesus going to somebody's house that was sick or going where somebody had just died. And Him being God manifest in the flesh knew everything about what was going on in that situation at that point in His life. He couldn't raise the dead, but I'll tell you what He could do. He could go down there and be acquainted with their grief and know what it was like to have a time and a place in His life where, you see what I'm saying this morning? He's God. He can do anything, but He limited Himself to not do anything. When Him being God very well could have, but He didn't do it. He didn't do it. Can you imagine being? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew what it was like. He was acquainted with grief, according to the Word of God. Can you imagine being the Lord Jesus Christ and being God manifest in the flesh? The Bible says He was in the world. John chapter 1 verses 10 and 11. He was in the world and the world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. Can you imagine being the Lord Jesus Christ and walking up and down the streets, living in Nazareth, visiting Jerusalem, every place that they went, every neighbor that they had, the Lord Jesus would have known not just what was behind the smile, but what was behind the door. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. If He met a stranger on the street, He knew what was going on in their heart and in their life. But He didn't say anything. And he didn't do anything about it at that time. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He'd meet somebody and he'd know they'd die. He would know that they would die before he came out in his public ministry when he was 30 years old. He would have known everything. The Bible said in John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible, you know, when we was growing up. And our Sunday school teacher would say, I want everybody to learn a verse before next week. I always wanted to memorize John 11:35. Jesus wept. I had that memorized long, long time ago. Jesus wept over Lazarus being there in the tomb. But let me tell you something this morning. I don't believe for a second that's the first time Jesus ever wept. But I'll tell you, when he wept that time, he could do something about it. What about all them years before? What about all them years before he was revealing himself as the Messiah come to save the Jews? What about all them years before he was just a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? And he wept over Lazarus, but he'd done something about it. But I'm telling you, it wasn't the first time he'd ever wept. He'd wept over people before and wept over their lives. You know, it's not a sin to shed a tear in sorrow for somebody else. In fact, that might be one of the most Christ-like things that you and I as Christians can do. The Bible says in Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You want to do something to help somebody that's going through a hard time? You know what you can do? You can't wave a magic wand and make it go away, but you could sit down and pray with them. Cry with them. Let your heart be broke with their broken heart and quit trying to put on all the time like everything's all right when it's not. Sometimes it's all right to just say, you know what? I'm burdened too. And I'm sorry for you, and it breaks my heart, and I wish there was something to do. I can't do anything, but you know what? If you can sit down with somebody in their grief, that's how the Lord Jesus was. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He knew something about it. A lot of people don't know anything about it. They don't want to know anything about it. They just want to be happy all the time. Don't depress me by telling me some sad news. They don't want to hear about it. I heard a fellow one time, he told me, he said, I don't like to go to church. He said, every time I go and they take prayer requests, it's just about sick people. And he said, I get tired of hearing about that. Thought, well, if you're sick, you'd sure want somebody to pray for you. You better not have that attitude when you hear about praying for somebody that's sick. Because you know what? I'm telling you, one day you're going to be sick. You'd sure want somebody to take time out of Sunday morning, mention your name, call your name out to God and pray for you. You better be careful what you say. Might come down to your house. You young people better watch out what you say. Oh, they're talking about sick people all the time, people with cancer and people dying. You know what that is? You know what that is? That's the real world. We're surrounded with sorrow and grief all the time on every hand. But thank God there's a companion in grief. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So somebody don't know how you feel. You know what? Jesus knows how you feel. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief is what the Word of God says. But I like this even more in verse 4. Not only is there the companion of grief, there is the carrying of grief. Look what the Bible says. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely he hath borne our, that means to carry. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But I'm focusing on the first part of verse 4. Not only do we have one who can be a companion in grief, but thank God this morning we serve one that can surely carry our grief. He can carry our grief. Let me tell you something about grief this morning. You're just not able to bear it. There's going to be times in your life, if you live long enough, that you're going to be so overwhelmed with grief that you're not going to be able to bear it. Your whole world is going to be turned upside down. And you're not going to know what to do about it. It'll crush you. I think I was singing some things about grief Last night as I was studying, grief will crush you. Grief will so come upon you that you feel like sometimes that it is literally just stealing the breath out of your life. Grief can come and be so real in your life, you'd say, "Preacher, I don't know." You know what? I don't like to relive grief. I don't like to think about grief. I don't like to remember about times of grief. But I'm telling you, grief can come and just break your heart. Just about kill you. It can crush you. Grief can consume you to the place where that's all you can think about. You can't think about nothing else. You can't enjoy nothing else in life. You can't go about like everything's all right when it's not. It just consumes every part of your being when you lay down on the bed, when you try to go to sleep at night, when you wake up in the morning. There it is. There it is. Sorrow. Something. It don't always have to be dying. Sometimes these things worse than dying. And that's dealing. Dealing with life. Dealing with what's going on in your life. It can consume you. It can cripple you and get you to a place where you can't enjoy church. You can't read your Bible. You can't pray. You can't witness. I mean, you're just crippled over this thing of grief. It's a real thing. It can confuse you. We get to doubting God and thinking about, "Lord, why this and why that?" Grief is an awful thing. We read in the Word of God, David said in Psalms 38:17, he said, "For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me." That word halt there, it means a limping or a falling. He was saying, it's going to cause me to fall. This sorrow that is continually before me, David said in Psalms 38 and verse 6, "Have you ever felt like this?" He said, "I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." Has grief ever got a hold of you like that? You're just bowed down with it. You would go about mourning all the day long. You're not the first person to ever go through anything like that. It helps me to know that other people have gone through some of the same things. When I was a young pastor many years ago, a young preacher, and as an older preacher told me, he said, "Now in your ministry you're going to go through some things. And you're going to go through some things, and if God doesn't bring you through some things, you're not going to be able to help anybody else." And I remember as a young preacher, somebody coming to me and talking about being depressed. And I remember then thinking to myself, "I don't know what's wrong with people. I'm never depressed. Nothing ever bothers me. I'll tell you, people just get down in the mouth. They just need to get right with God." I'm a young preacher thinking, I'd never went through anything. I'd never experienced anything like that. Let me tell you something. It wasn't long. There's a big old dark cloud come over my life, parked and hung out and stayed till I thought I was going to die. And I remember thinking, "Oh God, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me?" The Holy Spirit said, "It's real. People get down. People get disheartened. People go through things and can't get over and can't get through." And the Holy Ghost of God was teaching me, "Hey, it's real. Sorrow's real. Grief is real. You better learn to walk with me and deal with it, or you're not going to make it." David said, "I'm consumed with this. I'm about to fall. It's bowing me down. It's weighting me down. I go about all day long mourning. I go mourning all the day long." Well, I tell you, it's hard to go through life like that. I'm glad I served one this morning that said over in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You can't bear it. You can't carry it. You can't handle it. I don't care how strong you think you are. You're going to go through times and it's going to break you down. And if you don't get help from God, you're not going to make it through. But I'm telling you, there's one said, "Come unto me. Come unto me. I can handle it.
I can carry it. I can give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Boy, I like that. He's able to carry us through times of grief. That's what the Word of God says in verse number 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Praise the Lord for that. If I really got thinking about it, I could think about some things that I could take back and carry. I was thinking the other day about why does other people have babies and they're healthy and fine and our baby died? You can drive yourself crazy thinking about stuff like that. I think that kind of thought is from the devil, not the Lord. Why does other people get along fine in this world and they don't have any problems and I've had problems? That is from the devil, not the Lord. Do you know God will allow you to go through things in your life so you can help somebody else? Because He's working on us to make us what we ought to be. And boy, we're clay in His hands and He's the master potter. And I'm telling you, we may not think it sometimes, but God in heaven knows what He's doing. But you're going to have to come unto Him and really give it to Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I know what we do. We go and say we give things to God, and we've not really give it to God. That sounds good and that sounds spiritual all the time, but it's hard to let God just have it. But that's the only way to get any rest, because you can't carry. You can't handle it. And He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The Bible said, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Boy, I like that. I was reading about a pastor. His name is George Truett. He was one of the most well-known, famous Baptist preachers that America ever knew or heard of. He pastored the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And on February the 4th, 1898, George Truett was 30 years old. He was pastoring a church down there in Dallas, and Brother Truett and another preacher, G.W. Baines, and another man, he was a police captain. His name was J.C. Arnold, and in 1898, they went out quail hunting together. Had a good time of fellowship. These brothers in the Lord going out just having a good time. And they were getting ready to go back to the house after they were done quail hunting. And Brother Truett, he had an old double barrel hammerless shotgun. And as he turned around to go back to the house, he switched arms with that shotgun. And when he did, it went off and shot Brother Arnold in the leg. And when it shot Brother Arnold in the leg, Brother Arnold, he's a police captain, and he tries to assure his pastor that it's not that bad. It's okay, I'm going to be all right. And so they took him down to Dallas to the hospital. And the next afternoon, Brother Arnold died. And Brother Truett was overwhelmed with grief over accidentally shooting his friend and him dying, and anybody else would be too. Brother Baines preached the funeral on that Wednesday, and Brother Truett was so overcome with grief that all he could do was pace the floor and walk back and forth. And he told his wife, he said, I can never preach again. I can never preach again. Went to the funeral, broke his heart. People tried to console him. Wasn't your fault. It was accident and all like that. And he went home and all he could do is pace the floor and wring his hands and pray and say, he kept saying, God, my times are in thy hands. And he did that for days. And his wife couldn't do anything to console him. And finally, on Saturday, out of exhaustion, he just fell asleep. And he said that while he was sleeping, he told it later on, he said during that night, he said, the Lord came and stood by me. They say, oh, I don't believe in that. Well, that happened to Peter in Acts chapter 12, we believe that. I don't believe everybody says the Lord came, but you see what I'm saying? He said the Lord came to him in a dream and said, "Be not afraid. From now on, you're my man." Said he had that same dream three times that night. The Lord came and said, "Be not afraid. From now on, you're my man." Said the next morning, he got up, he got dressed, he went to church, he got behind the pulpit. But everybody there said he was never the same. You see, sometimes God might take us through the darkest of darkest valleys. But God could never get you where you need to be without going through that valley. And if you will become God's man and God's woman through that valley, there's no telling what God can do for you, with you, through you, for you. But I'm telling you this morning, we serve one that is able to carry us in our times of grief. Surely, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Boy, God's good. In everything that goes on in our life, there's the carrying of the grief. That's where you apply Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I don't understand it, but the Word of God says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. But you do not find in the Bible, you do not find in life that there's such a thing as a magic wand to come and just wave and make our grief go away. Thank God the Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." God said, "I'll go with you through it. I'll be with you through the valley." He's able to carry us through the valley. He's able to help us through the valley. Thank God. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He knows something about grief. Boy, I'm glad that he does. And last of all, this morning I'll show you one last thing. There's the conquering of grief. I'm glad we not only serve one that can be a companion in our grief, he can be a carrier of our grief, but thank God he's the conqueror of grief. Now Isaiah 53 is pretty dark for the most part. Grief, sorrow. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He didn't do nothing to deserve that. But he took our sins on his own body. And he died for us upon the tree of Calvary. Verse 7, he was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Now, I want to point out something this morning. The grief of the Lord Jesus had to be. There's no other way around it if there's any hope for us. He had to go to the cross. He had to die on the cross. He had to become sin for us, or there's no hope for us. He didn't deserve that. He done it for you and for me, and nobody come and took his grief away. Peter suggested that the Lord not go to the cross, and the Lord told him, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Bible said in verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, that's dying on the cross. For the transgression of my people he was stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He was crucified with the thieves, and he was buried in the rich man's tomb. That's what that's talking about. Because he'd done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Here's something else. Get it, please, the Lord to bruise him. When our Lord died upon Calvary, God in heaven participated in that punishment upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these things I don't understand. But the Bible said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's his own son. When we went by the hospital the other night, Brother Bradley was talking about little Daisy Mae coming into the world. And he said all he could do for about the first 15 minutes is just cry. When my firstborn come into the world, and I held that little fellow the first time, you know what overwhelmed me was that God gave his son. But the Bible says that when Jesus was there upon the cross, that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. We are so unworthy of the love of God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what love. What love. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yet, the Bible says, he hath put him to grief. Boy, he knows about grief. But let me tell you something. He said, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. But right here in the middle of verse number 10, things begin to change. And it says, he shall see his seed. Boy, when Jesus died upon the cross, he looked down through time. And he saw beyond that shadow, he saw beyond that valley of the shadow of death, and he saw on the other side the resurrected Lord. And he died for you and me. He said, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure. Hey, there's where it gets good. The pleasure of the Lord shall be in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He'll look one day and say, you know what? It's worth it all. That grief was worth it. When he got on the other side, the Bible said he'd see the travail of his soul and he'd be satisfied. He said, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's referring there to the resurrected Lord. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. There is no such thing as a world without sin and heartache and grief and pain and all of these things that we see around us each and every day. But I've got good news this morning. There's coming a day. There's coming a day. Not a cloud in the sky. There's coming a better day. How come, preacher? How come you're sure of that? Because he got up out of the grave. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come. Not a tear in the eye. Praise God. Jesus said over in John chapter 16, he was getting ready to go to the cross. And I'm going to close in just a moment. He's getting ready to go to the cross and he's explaining to his disciples what's going on, and they're not going to understand what's happening on the day after when he goes to the cross, and he's talking to them. And he said in John 16 and 19, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. See, they didn't understand that. He said, you don't understand that, do you? That I said a little while, and you won't see me. But then a little while, and you'll see me. And they didn't understand what he's talking about. But he's talking about dying. And they wouldn't see him. But after 3 days, they's going to see him again. And he said in verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." They's going to be glad they killed him, but then they's going to be surprised. And their sorrow will be turned into joy. He said in verse 21, "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." You know how it is. Women have a baby. And during the labor and everything, they say, "Never again, never again, never again. Oh my, I'm about to die." As soon as that baby comes along and there it is. And boy, they forget about all that pain. Well, that's how it is in serving a risen Lord. He said down in verse 27, he said, "For the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. We are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I like that. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a companion in our grief, and we have one that is able to carry us in our grief, and thank God we've got one that has conquered grief altogether. We'll see it one day. We get little glimpses here and there, but I want to ask you this morning in closing, when you think about grief, you think about sorrow, are you going to carry it? Or are you going to let Him carry it?